Salut, ici Matt Track, vous écoutez CKUT 90,3 FM.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What?
Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? I'm brought to you live.
You're listening to this month's edition of Labor Radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is one of your co-hosts, Mustafa Henaway.
And I'm Stefan Doucette. We're recording this under somewhat hard circumstances where Mustafa's kid has been out of daycare for a month and I'm deeply ill. But we're making it happen today. We've got a great show for you. We've got two excellent interviews. The first one we'll play for you is with two board members from the Association des Travailleurs Grecs de Montréal, aka the Greek Workers Association, which is celebrating its 50-year anniversary this year.
And we also have audio from the Mamadou Kanate press conference that was held last week at Justin Trudeau's office. Mamadou Kanate, for people who do not know, was an essential worker during the pandemic, working in a CHLSD as a janitor, but has been excluded from the program on two fronts. One, because he's been admissible for reasons regarding the Immigration Refugee Protection Act, and also because the program itself has limited access to most asylum seekers for the program for En Gardien. So we'll be hearing from Mamadou Kanate himself. And so it's a great show about the struggles of particularly immigrant workers, both past and present in the city of Montreal.
So glad to have you listening. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page. You can re-listen to the episode on Mixcloud. And we've also recently joined the the Labor Radio Podcast Network. So check them out. You can find lots of other labor radio shows. So we're at the Greek Workers Association, and we're lucky to be joined by two members of the board of the Greek Workers Association. We're with Rena Fornaris and Panayotis Vambakaris. We're going to talk about the 50 years of the association, but even more generally about what's happened in those 50 years, why the organization was founded, and these more broader questions. So, but maybe to get us started, what would be nice is if each of you wanted to introduce yourself and say a little bit about your connection to the association.
Okay, I'm going to try. My English is not that good. The name of the association is Association des Travailleurs Grecs du Québec. There is not a translation. So the association was created in 1971. This year we celebrate 50 years of existence of the association. I am member of the association from the beginning of 72. That means 49 years. I liked the atmosphere, the people at the time. You know, I started to work at the association, and people were coming with problems you could not imagine that they existed. And you say, it's not possible. I mean, at the time, I remember a guy coming in, not to protest for something, but he was looking for a easier job because he was working like 80 hours a week, and he was exhausted and he could not stand it anymore. Can you imagine? These people, you know, they were not speaking the language, and they didn't have nowhere to turn. They had to pay at the beginning. At that time, they were the travel agencies. They used to help you, and they charge. Okay, so we started this association, and we helped thousands and thousands of people who didn't speak the language, didn't know their rights, at the work, the school, the housing, whatever, the health system. So we started like that, and it was needed.
On my account, I joined the association in 1979, I should say. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Panayotis Vanvakaris, member of the association since 79. The reason why I joined, I was a little bit younger, and it was due to the because the youth wing of the association at the time was very active, and we were producing or try to a cultural cultural events. Since that, a lot changed. First of all, I changed. I grew up. but nevertheless, the association always was there, as Rena said, protecting and helping people of all ages.
At this time, there were not any services for the new immigrants from the government, let's say, okay? At the beginning, people who were coming here, they didn't know that people speak French here. When you went to the Greek embassy in Athens, let's say, to apply, to immigrate, because Canada needed people, and they did some publicity to attract people. Like at the beginning, it was a lot of thousands of maids, girls that they were coming here to work as domestics at rich houses. Anyway, they didn't know nothing. All the forms, yeah, the applications, they were in Greek and English. Nobody told nobody that here we speak, there is a place that people speak French. It was that simple. So, yeah, I applied, I came here, and I knew French from the Greece. And it was easy for me because I had the school and I had the language, and it opened doors for me. But it was not the same thing for everybody. So they were not English language courses given by... That was added much later from the Ministère d'Immigration du Québec. But at the time, there were nothing. People, and it was difficult. It was really difficult for these people to seek information, to seek, to you know, it was really at the association we face so many difficult cases, but cruel cases of exploitation of the working people, you know. So the jobs they were doing, they were jobs that they didn't need any skills, just cleaning. The men, mostly they were cleaners during the night, and the women, machine operators at the manufacturers of clothing. That was the typical couple, a cleaner and a machine operator.
So do you want to talk about the what it was like with the big wave of Greek immigration that sort of led to the formation of the association? So obviously people come here, there's a Greek community. How does the need for an association like this come up, and how do people decide to organize it? How did that happen?
Okay, it was after the war, after the German occupation, we had a civil war in Greece. And after that, people were leaving for economic reasons and political reasons. And probably you don't know that, but at the time, Canada was asking un certificat de conviction politique. It was, they stopped asking that. You had to show like patte blanche to come to Canada, you know, politically. They stopped that around 64, I think. So we had an old community before the war. During the war and the occupation, they stopped because there were not any travel. And then after that, the old ones, they were quite well established. And they were the first bosses, the first of the new ones. And they were not the best. Here we have a community like a big Greek town, probably 70,000, probably more. Yeah, you have all the kind of people, rich ones, poor ones, educated ones, illiterate, everything, like a society. So we have the churches, the press, few Greek speaking newspapers, things like that, radios, you know, like a small community. That's it. The association from the beginning had a lot of success. People were coming because they were seeking help for anything. They were receiving a letter from the school, they didn't understand what it says, you know. Where you go, it was free for us. And we always gave these services free to the people. We're not an agency, we charge for that. So I don't think there is one family in Montreal or in Quebec area that they didn't pass even once from here to seek some help. They don't always like us because we bother people, we protest a lot, so we didn't like the dictatorship, you know, we participate to the local problems, whatever they are, to help people to unionize. And some people don't like that. So that's it. And we had also a lot of cultural activities. The young ones, they do music, dances, theater, whatever you, yeah, a lot, all these years.
When you talk about like Montreal being like, you know, like this mini, you know, a mini version of Greek and Greece and Greek society, and sort of did the association play like a key role in channeling a lot of people's frustrations of still what was happening in Greece in terms of the dictatorship, in terms of what was happening there politically at the time, and what was the role of the center and you know, solidarity with what was, you know, happening with, you know, yes, what was happening in Greece.
We did. We didn't want to have any relationship with consulate at the time. Okay. We did not want anything to do with them, and with the Greek establishment of the community, because there is one, okay? So the churches and the bridge people we do that. When we had planned a dance, a big dance at the time, it was like 1,000 people in a dance of the association, not like now, okay? But we planned this dance at 73, and in Greece, they had the attack on the Polytechnic School. So we canceled the dance for solidarity for the people. People died there, and we celebrate every year this memory of this event. Because the students in the Ecole Polytechnique in Athens, they occupied the school, and they were protesting, and it was a tank. It demolished the door, the fence, the front door of the school, and they killed people, around 100 people. Victims this night. It was really heavy. And after that, the military start to decline. 74, it was the last year. But, yeah. And we took part in every mobilization here, in every march for Cyprus, for everything. We participate, you know, for the environment, the people, the peace movement. We are present, and, you know, for that, we are not the most popular kids in the block. In Greece, the last time we saw a big grand vague d'immigration de la Grèce, it was for 7 years of the dictatorship in Greece. Then those years we saw people, educated people, not like before, and they were coming here to escape from the dictatorship. After that, the migration stopped, and it was like a current to go back. A lot of families went back. Until now, the last 10 years, we see them coming back here, and we see another immigration, young people, very educated, with diplomas, and who fly from Greece because they don't, they cannot, everything is, the jobs are not there. And they're coming here, people really, and it's a pity, because, you know, for a small country like Greece to create all these people through university, which is free there, it costs money. It's a lot of money spent from that country. And they come here ready to work. About 6,000 Greek doctors work in Germany right now. Do you think that Germany would accept them if they were not good doctors? I don't think so. And everybody knows what it costs a child, you know, to grow up and have a doctor's degree. And that's Greece now. It's not a dictatorship, but it's not pleasant, and you know. So when we say all that, some people don't like
it. So this year is 50 years of the association, and obviously it's not the best year to celebrate. You know, I think in any other circumstance, there would have been a lot of events at the association to commemorate. There's big archives also of all the years of the association that would have been great to have more time to comb through and bring out for the membership and so on. But can you talk a little bit about what it means to the both of you that the association is still here 50 years later, that it's still true to its mission of helping immigrants and of pushing for progressive change here and in Greece? And so what it means to you, I guess, like after all of these, I mean, you've both spent decades here, you know, you've seen a lot and still it's here. So what does it mean to you to celebrate 50 years here?
Well, to me, it's not, all these years are not lost. Okay, I feel that I did my part and I offer something, you know. Sometimes, you know, I had something better to do, but I did not, you know, because I had to be in a certain place, do certain work, and it's a lot of work. It's not, because here nobody gets paid. It's from the dishes to the floor to the all the construction, whatever, everything is benevolent. So there is a lot of people, like somebody can translate things, somebody can paint the wall, somebody can cook, and it's all that, and it's not lost, because we get a lot of love from people. The others, we don't really care about, we don't even, you know, I don't seek the approval of anybody, but for our people, they like the place, they like the people, and we feel okay. It's not, from my point of view, that's it. I don't think I spent my time for nothing. That is for sure. And we've been also present to whatever happened to Quebec. We were there. This is very, very rich. It's something that, an experience. We met fantastic people, you know. We met, you know, sometimes you see an author or a politician, and say, oh, I met this guy, I met this lady, you know. Everything happened here in Quebec all these years, we were present. And this is something, you know, because sometimes the immigrants, they live apart from the mainstream society, which is a mistake. For me, I'm okay. Next year I'm going to have 50 years, I'm 75, and I'm still, I do whatever I can. But I think it was, we got a lot of friends, you know, good people here. And we saw the people, like the young ones, they started from the dance groups, and then they got, they made families. And you see the youth growing up, and it's nice. It's, yeah, you participate that is something. It's really very rich. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, maybe here I would like to add that for sure nothing is lost. It was great time. Learned, not only gave, but learned a lot, benefited a lot from all this time in the association. And well, The other thing that we never should forget is that the needs, whether they're always there. There's always a need. Somebody's going to need something. So association is not going to be obsolete after 5 years or 10 years. For sure, there's going to be a need for the association to be around.
People
change. We won't be here for sure, but somebody else is going to be here. You know, somebody new, but with the same problems, and who would want to give a resolution to its problems. Maybe today the community doesn't need the first services that they were given here of translation, for instance. Now, mainly because demographically, what we deal with is with retirees. But still, society is going to need a type of organizations like our association, and with a great certainty I can tell you that I won't be here to celebrate its 100th anniversary, but the association is gonna see that. I'm not, perhaps.
In the last 50 years, I mean, not just all of the need, what are some of the big moments for you of the center in the last 50 years? If you were to say, oh, this was really, you know, this demonstration or this event that we did or this campaign, what were some of the, like, the highlights for you over the last 50 years?
We participated in everything. You know, all the big strikes, all the big events for peace, for Cyprus, for, you know, Cyprus is still occupied from our allies, friends and allies, yes. And nobody does that, nothing. We bought this building and it's completely paid. Yeah, and this is not with the help of nobody. You know, it's just the members and the people who participated in that, and the work who they did here. We just paint the walls. You know, some guys did that. Sometimes some other people does other things. Another guy do the translations. You know, everybody works here. And when we meet, we like to meet together. We're good together because we don't have any problems between us. You know, if we don't feel okay here, we leave. Okay, we don't have to be. But it's something. There is a place, and it is not. We tend to think that now the new generation, they speak the language and they don't need anymore this kind of help. It's not true. A guy just he went to get his first job, and he had a work accident. He doesn't know where to go. Okay, maybe if he's born here, or if he speaks all the languages, but the information. Somebody has to give the information, to guide the where he has to look. They phone here, how much is the minimum wage? What I do, the owner of the house who want to throw me out, what I do, you know. These things you have to, we build a bank of knowledge all these years, and, you know, it's something, it's the... otherwise, people has to go and pay to get that kind of help. And this is we did like the new ones who come here. We help them for all the papers for the immigration. This is thousands of dollars they save. Okay, and it's complicated. It's not easy. Anyway, we do what we can, and we feel okay. We have the feeling that we did what we could, and even if we help some people, yeah, it's okay with us, and it gave us a satisfaction of that we offered something. Other people do other things, you know.
Yes, for sure, it's the small things, the everyday small things that make the difference. Yes, you tend to celebrate a major thing that you did, and the association throughout the years achieved many great objectives. Like the transfer of the pensions from between Quebec and Greece.
It was started
here.
The first entente, it was with Italy, because you know you work in a place and then you leave, you work in another place. You had paid contributions to the other place, and then it was lost because it was not enough to get something. So when we saw that Italy signed this agreement, then we invited the associations, the other associations of the community, and we did, okay, they did that, it makes sense, it's a good thing. How do we have to push for Greece to sign one? And now I think Quebec has something like 30 agreements with a lot of countries. And it is very good because, you know, I worked in Greece like 2 years. I didn't lose them. I have a small thing from there, you know. Yeah. Why not? And in this community, it was us who started to push. And yes, that covers thousands of people, you know, thousands of people. And it's not only that, because if you have the smallest amount of pension in Greece, and for other countries is the same thing, then you have the coverage of health insurance. I go there to find doctors that I cannot find here. Yeah. Try to find an orthopedist for my knee here. It takes months. So when I'm there, I have that free for free, and it doesn't cost me nothing, doesn't cost Quebec nothing.
Well, I'm curious because I've heard about legends of the association. There's a few. One of them is about other communities. I know that there's a deep link between the Greek community through the association with left-wing Latino communities from Latin America. I'm just curious, so the legend is basically that people would arrive from Chile under the dictatorship and they would have one piece of paper in their pocket and it was the address of the association. These types of stories, you hear about them. But more broadly, I don't need you to confirm or deny that legend, but what are the sort of historic relationships that have been built between different immigrant communities through the association? And if there are any struggles?
Activities. A lot of activities together, like for music, you know, when you go to the march of the 1st of May, you know, you meet these people there, and we know each other. It's, you know, we had a lot of things we did together. Yes, that is not the paper that I didn't see that, but here it's not long before they found us. Yes. And we do a lot of multicultural activities here. You know, we had people who are not Greek, and they play Greek music here, and they sing in Greek. That's fantastic. I mean, it's something, and we like that. Yes.
I guess, I mean, as a last question, I mean, And you talked about this at the beginning. So like the changes because of this wave of immigration is different, and the causes are you know, the circumstances are different, right? It's because of the you know, the ongoing crises, and it has not disappeared. And does how do you feel that the center will change in the next little bit? How are young people, you know, you see the you know, the young people are doing very different things in the center, and you know, there's the mural of the Greek rapper who was, you know, who was killed, and the, you know, the youth culture is different but equally as political. So how do you see, do you see the center changing with like a new generation of people, you know, coming, the international festival now, that's you know,
this is not new here, but that's life. I mean, we have to go at a certain point, okay? But somebody else is coming, and this is not necessarily the same, exactly the same thing. They had their opinions, like my children. Okay, you let your house to, you die, you leave your house to your children, and you cannot tell them sell it, or you paint it in yellow or green. You know, they make their own decisions. This is life. And when it's good people, you trust them. You don't make like mother-in-laws say, okay, probably they have their own opinions, but the ones we see here, I am quite satisfied that they're going to continue to the same way. Not exactly the same way, but the right way. And you know, that's life. You cannot do that with your own children. So how you can do it with the other people's children or the association, the youth here. But they're nice people, good people, you know, with education and everything. So why not trust them? We're not there to do, why you did that? And in my time, we used to do that this way. No, no, this is not healthy. This is not normal. That's what I think.
Well, I think that the new generation, the people who, the younger than me, people who are coming, they will come and want to give resolutions to their problem, to their problems. Now, whether the resolutions that they're gonna try to give, whether I agree or not, it's a different story. But the thing is that everybody, I guess, throughout ages, humanity, gave with different reasons, different approaches, resolutions to their problems, but still resolutions. And I'm confident that for sure this thing, the way I would like to see it is that our generation and the previous generation than me, whatever we did, whatever they did, it was the kindle of the fire, and that fire, you know, it's a way of seeing things, how to approach and give resolutions to your problem. And that fire, that kindle is gonna persevere, is gonna stay lit for many years to come, till I'm confident, till humanity will give its proper resolutions to the problems existing. And that's all.
Well, I appreciate so much your time, both of you, and we definitely look forward to the resolution of humanity's problems.
Solutions, yeah. Awesome. The way we see them.
Yeah.
Participé dans beaucoup de mobilisations pour les statues, pour tous et toutes. Merci, Mamadou, pour votre courage et votre présence aujourd'hui.
Bonjour tout le monde. Je suis
je prends le micro aujourd'hui, si je prends le micro aujourd'hui, c'est que j'ai décidé de hausser du tout pour ce que beaucoup de personnes migrantes pensent tout bas. Et pourquoi le gouvernement du Québec et du Canada ne suivent pas par leur promesse de donner la résidence permanente à tous ceux qui ont aidé le pays à rester à flot? Pourquoi le gouvernement du Québec et son premier ministre, François Legault, refusent toujours à respecter les spécialistes pour les demandeurs d'asile? Est-ce que c'est parce que nos vies ne valent pas assez pour que les Québécois et Québécoises nous remercient? Est-ce que c'est parce que nous n'avons pas payé assez cher le prix de la COVID? Alors, même que c'est prouvé que les personnes migrantes sont sous-représentées parmi les victimes de la COVID, est-ce que c'est parce que le gouvernement Legault a pour faire de pédagogie et d'expliquer aux Québécois et Québécoises que les migrants, la migration est une force et une chance pour le Québec de demain, et qu'ils refusent à faire campagne sur nos dos et continuent de faire de nous une menace pour notre province? Trop, c'est trop. Nous sommes bons pour travailler, mais jamais assez pour obtenir la dignité et le respect. Les deux points de mesure ne peuvent plus durer. Alors, même qu'on découvre que le meilleur de la santé, le milieu de la santé, de la alimentation et de l'industrie manque cruellement de travailleurs et de travailleuses, Monsieur Legault, Monsieur Trudeau doivent assurément et porter un débat national sur la migration et afin de donner la parole à celles et ceux qui comme moi méritent à que leur donne la parole, car le Québec est à nous tous et le Canada. Donc je profite pour dire, la semaine passée, j'ai travaillé avec des amis pendant ces moments difficiles. Mais la semaine passée, je les ai vus, ils m'ont dit, ah Mamadou, nous on est dessus, on doit rentrer. On veut rentrer. J'ai dit, mais vous allez où? Ce sont des personnes qui viennent du Brésil. Ils m'ont dit, mais présentement, au Brésil, il y a trop de nombre de cas de Covid. On est en train de voir si on peut aller en Espagne. Mais ces gens-là, quand ils vont arriver en Espagne, ils vont les demander, vous êtes où? Ils vont dire, on est au Canada. Ok, parlez-nous du Canada, qu'est-ce qu'ils vont dire? Qu'est-ce qu'ils vont dire du Canada? Ok, ces gens-là, on a fait les premières vagues de Covid ensemble. À ce moment-là, ceux qui ont fait les premières vagues de Covid, c'est les gens vraiment, ils ont vraiment sacrifié leur vie. Pourquoi j'ai dit ça? Parce qu'il n'y en avait aucun équipement. Il n'y en avait pas d'équipement. Et il y a des personnes qui venaient. Dès qu'ils voient les champs qui sont là, on dit ok, tout cela, ce sont les champs qui sont infectés par le virus, et refusent automatiquement de travailler. Même quand le premier ministre a fait appel au monde de venir aider dans les CHSLD, les mondes sont venus, mais beaucoup, quand on vit le Covid, ils se sont retournés. La majorité, ce sont les migrants qui sont restés. Mais ces migrants, aujourd'hui, ils sont en train de se retourner, parce qu'aujourd'hui, le gouvernement les refuse. Ensuite, c'est quoi qui fait mal dans cette affaire-là? Là, ils sont en train de recruter encore des gens dans notre pays pour les faire venir. Ceux qui sont ici, qui ont sacrifié leur vie, vous avez financé l'argent d'ailleurs, certains sont là à l'école, apprendre à parler le français et écrire tout ça. Aujourd'hui, vous les mettez dans une vie clandestine. Qu'est-ce qu'on appelle ça? Blanchiment d'humain ou bien c'est quoi? Donc franchement, aujourd'hui, je passe ce message aux Québécois pour que le monde sache. Les migrants sont vraiment importants dans ces pays parce que tout le boulot dangereux, le boulot de riz, sont faits par les migrants. Parce que j'en ai déjà travaillé dans plusieurs domaines dangereux dans ces pays. Donc vraiment, que les Québécois sachent aujourd'hui, parler avec le gouvernement. Le monde québécois, j'ai eu la chance de coopérer avec le monde québécois. Et ça, c'est un pays qui a beaucoup de sentiments.
Mais aujourd'hui, on souffre d'un bricolage de quelques têtes. Je suis parfaitement conscient de ça. Donc aujourd'hui, que le monde s'associe à nous pour essayer de sensibiliser ces gens-là pour qu'ils viennent à la raison. Il y a des femmes et des enfants aujourd'hui, à cause de politique qui est en train de peser sur leur vie dans ce pays, qui ne peut même pas se soigner. C'était même pas là l'école, ce problème. Donc vraiment, c'est un message que je voulais partager à tout le monde, qu'ils savent, je ne suis pas le seul. Il y a des mondes aujourd'hui qui souffrent dans ce genre de problème. Tu es dans un pays pendant 6 ans, 7 ans, tu travailles, on te donne un permis de travail, tu travailles, tu contribues. Maintenant, après, ils vont te déporter. Tout ce que tu as contribué, ça reste ici. La dernière fois, quand j'étais dans le centre de détention, je vous jure, il y a un monsieur qui a été déporté, Simon Zouen Haïtien, qui a fait 39 ans ici. Imagine, on enlève 39 ans dans la vie d'un être humain, il y a combien qui reste? Nos générations, nous vivons aujourd'hui de 60 ans, 70 ans, il y en a qui passent, mais quand tu fais calcul normal, c'est 60 ans, 70 ans. Quelqu'un qui a fait 39 ans ici, on est déporté. L'autre avait fait 9 ans ici, un Mexicain qui était déposé. Toutes ces années-là, on lui donne un permis de travail. On le coupe pour garder, pour, comme on appelle, la retraite, tout ça reste ici. Quand ça va, on ne lui donne pas. Il y en a même qui arrivent au pays, ils n'ont aucune rébelle. Donc maintenant, on parle de démocratie. La démocratie, c'est en faveur de qui? À ceux qui organisent. Ce n'est pas une démocratie universelle. Donc vraiment, je dois appeler les Québécois et les Canadiens de passer mes chers à ce gouvernement pour qu'ils puissent changer leur système migratoire.
This has been your co-host, Mustafa Henaway. It's been quite the episode and really inspiring to see an organization like the Greek Workers Center that's been around for 50 years, which is rare in our social movements and the labor movement, to see organizations last that long and still remain relevant and a critical voice in the labor movement, but also in the community.
So thanks everyone for joining us this month, and we'll see you next month for another show.
That's it for Labor Radio this month.
An episode to Runga, Olome, April 13, 2021, Amalo, Nipibumo, Tunga Sugitsi. Olome, Tina Pesuti, Ohanamahate Halangayo, Professor Richard Bajomig, Tana Inunulu, Ila Inunulu, Ikalinulu, Ikayokte Hatarangayo, Anya Terino Mechanot, Amalo Ubanga, Joe Inau Yoming, Apersulanga Mejunga. Tana ingile o sema de columa atele me na legiga ko amalo ino tito to ne dare ne to sa hatala na meyo se so na na to ina gete hi I'm Annie Pisipti. Today is April 13, 2021 and welcome to Nipiwood. Today Tina Pisipti speaks with Professor Richard Budjo about his work in the indigenous health field. And I interviewed Joey Nauyuk about his new song, Naligigaku. We also will listen to Inuktitut music, so keep on listening.